Well, as we studied this week, I challenge you guys, if you guys see, you'll have a Bible that looks about like this in the pews. You guys can grab it. If you don't have your own, open it up to page 613. Open it up to page 613. If you do not have a Bible at home, I challenge you, after you close that Bible at the end of the service today, to put it in your backpack or in your hand and walk it, whatever. Take this home with you. Allow it to be your Bible that you're going to go study and just dig into and dive into. If you say, man, it looks like one of Kirill's kiddos must have got a hold of this because it is, looks like it's seen its better days. We've got some new ones right up front. If you have a neighbor down the street, if you have a grandparent, if you have a cousin, if you have somebody that you can't stand at the Walmart and you know they need Jesus, grab one of these, take it to them, and share the gospel with them, guys. So 613. Let me give you a little backstory before we read directly into our text here in the book of John. Book of John chapter 13, we are getting ready. We are actually starting the end of Jesus' ministry on this earth, right? So we've got all the situations that we talked about this week. We have Jesus before this part or this passage that we're digging into. We have Jesus come in and he's washing the disciples' feet. Kiddos, you remember when we talked about washing the feet? Ralton said, if anybody, he's still waiting on somebody to volunteer, right? So we talked about that and how to serve one another and how to live it out through the serving. Later, we'll see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and talked about prayer. We see the kindness that Jesus has here. We see all the different things that we learned about in the book of John in just a short amount of time. This is Jesus' farewell speech that we get into. It's the, what do I do now? There's a day for us parents that our kiddos are going to, I still remember the day that my parents left me at Tennessee Tech. I say left me, I felt like I was at the pound. I stared out my dorm room window as they drove off. I didn't know much beyond how to spend maybe a few nights away from them. You know, I didn't know how to budget myself. You know, they'd always say, Kirill, are you being wise with your money? I didn't know how to even go buy my own shampoo, my own toilet paper, those sort of things. I didn't know. I knew that mom and dad did it. And I quickly learned, for those of you, Caden, one of the best places to go shop for the stuff that you need, like toothpaste and stuff, it's amazing, crazy cheap. Go home, go into your parents' cabinets, get what you want, and take it back to college with you. It's fantastic. And I still do that today. Just not quite as much because dad runs me out the door, you know. But I had to learn all those things. So Jesus is saying, I know that we've been through all this. I know that you have seen me in the ministry. I know that we've talked about it, but I got to leave you with something. Sitting in that dorm room and wondering what's about to happen. The trip up there, Kirill, did you do this? Do this. Okay, go up here and learn well and be who you're supposed to be. It's that final speech that Jesus gives there. The final commandment that we see here. As Christians, it's something that we struggle with because we've watched how to do church, right? You guys, has anybody here been to more than, let's say, three services in their entire life at some church somewhere? So you guys know generally that when you come in, that things may change up a little bit. I was talking to a few of you this morning. I love changing it up. One of my goals is that when the day comes to replace the carpet, that we can put chairs in here. And I would love to get the deacons every week to change where the seats are so that everybody just gets a little bit stirred up. I love when visitors are coming in and to put them in your seat if you sit there every week. It's a lot of fun to me. I also like when things get changed up for me because I feel like I don't get in the same groove. But for all of us that have been there more than three times, we generally know what to do when we go to church, right? We could go to almost any church down through here, and we're going to come in, and we're going to find a seat, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to wait for them to either give their announcements at the beginning or the end. We're going to go through so many songs where usually we're going to go with at least three, but man, if we're in just a spirit-filled church, we may go through five songs, you know? And we're going to do our thing. The preacher's going to get up there, and we're going to just really wonder if he's going to engage or not. And then we're going to go rush our way. It used to be the Cracker Barrel. COVID killed Cracker Barrel for me, so Cracker Barrel's not the go-to. We used to be able to say that in the South. Now we go to the Mexican place. Am I right? I'm right, right? How many people go to the Mexican place more than they do Cracker Barrel? Anybody in here? Yeah, come on. Yeah, we know you do. We do. We go through the same thing over and over and over again, but we don't really realize why did we come here in the first place. And the disciples, I think, get through this motion where they're going through and they're seeing all the wonders. We see Vacation Bible School. We see the kids getting excited. We see all of the great things going on. And then we quickly forget about it and we go back into what do we have to do next? What is the next thing on the list to check off? Oh, I've got work Monday morning. I am so glad that I got rejuvenated so that I can go back to work in the morning. And we forget that the purpose of being here is not to give you guys a bunch of rules to live by, not to give you a script of what the service looks like, not to come in here and hear a story about this guy named Jesus, not that. It is to come here and for us as Christians to be able to be fully consumed with the Spirit in a way that we gather together and say, how do we make a game plan? How do we study? How do we learn more about Jesus so that we can go out into the world and be Christ-like? How can we live out Christ? Not just some religious, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. If you're here just because religious reasons, that you're just here, I hope it's because you are seeking Christ. But if you're here and you say, well, I'm just here because I do this and I want to be good. Kiddos, that you can go through all this VBS and read all this stuff. It's not about being good. It's not about being good. As a matter of fact, you're going to do things that are Christ-like that to the world looks bad. Yeah, I'm going to say it. If you live by Christ, the world's going to hate you. If you do what Christ asks you to do, they're going to tell you that you're doing wrong. Our purpose isn't here to be and raise up moralistic people based on worldly standards. Our purpose is to be Christ-like and live out Christ in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect. That's what living it out is about. So we read here, and Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He has started it. We go to the point that Judas has now left the room, right? So it is begun. And we start in verse 31 in John chapter 13. It says, when he had left, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. Remember, Judas has left. It is beginning. This is the roller coaster moment, right? We went to Six Flags. You are at the pinnacle. You see the cart go over. There is no coming back from that, right? Selena, you have already made it across. We're going down the hill, right? This is what Jesus is saying. He's been glorified now because it is started. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Children, I am with you a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so now I tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Here comes Peter. Lord, Simon Peter said to him, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Lord, Peter asked, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus replied, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, I tell you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. Let's pray as we dig in. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I ask that as we just dive into your word, that you just make it unbelievably clear, that you fill us with your spirit. Allow us to know what your desire is here. I ask that you speak through me this morning, but you also open the ears of each and every one of us. Allow our hands to move for you. Allow our bodies and our feet to move for you. Allow us to go out in our mouths to proclaim the gospel to the world for you. Allow us to be more like you each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So as we dig in here, we've already talked about the roller coaster pinnacle, right? And we're going down the hill, it's getting started. And Jesus says, I've got to just let you know one little thing. He actually approaches them in the way. If you have other versions of the Bible, it may say little ones, that sort of thing. He calls them children here. He's talking to grown men, right? Grown men. He's talking to them. He calls them children, not in a way that is derogatory, but in the unbelievably utmost loving way possible. Kiddos, come here for just a minute. I need to talk to you about something. Anybody ever been in one of those moments where life is just unbelievably difficult and you need to prepare somebody for the next step? Anybody ever had to do that for their kids? We got some stuff going on and I got to talk to you. Come here, guys. I need you to know something. I used to travel quite a bit for work, and one of the last things that I would do before I walked out the door, and it was unbelievably difficult. Aubrey would just break down in tears days before. She'd be so upset because I'd have to go for several days at a time. And I would bring her in and I would talk to her. Keone was way too young by this time, and Kaysen wasn't even around yet. But I would bring Aubrey in and she would be so upset because I was having to go, and I'd have to say, hey, I love you so much. I needed you to help your mama. I need you to take care of her. I need you to love your brother. I need you to be with him. And there would be some comfort even though I was going. She would say, Dad, I don't want you to go. But I'd say, no, I need you to understand that I have to do this. That's what Jesus is doing with his disciples. He's bringing them in and said, I love you guys so much. Children, come close. But I need you to do something for me. I'm going to give you this command to love one another. But it says it's a new command. And for a lot of us, we would think like, maybe before that, they weren't supposed to love each other. But Jesus, remember, we talked about the pinnacle of the roller coaster and that everything is getting ready to change. Now it's not because we just want to be good and follow the law, which we still should, but we do it for a different reason. See, we're in a culture now that says that the church has hurt me so bad and we've done so many terrible things and everything that I just don't want to go anymore. I just don't want to be involved anymore, so I'm going to do something new and I'm going to just go home and I'm going to watch it on TV and I'm going to click the buttons and I'm going to forget about being the church, which is just as dangerous as coming in and being a church that doesn't know Christ and doesn't live out Christ. Either way, you're not living out Christ. Both of those are wrong. You could come every single week or never come, but watch it online, and you're in the same exact situation. If you're not living it out in your life, if you're not doing what the Bible asks us to do, if your church isn't setting up its leadership in the way that it needs to be set up, if we're not going by God's role for us in that church, if we're not going in and we're not serving in the way, then we're doing it all wrong. And we just have personal ways that makes us feel better about it, and we give it as an excuse on why to have our own version of religion, and we don't say, Jesus, what would you want me to do here? And Jesus would say, go out, feed the people, take care of the people, love the people, proclaim the gospel, and do it with Judas sitting in the room. Wash his feet too. That's what he would say. But a lot of us say, well, wait a minute, I don't really like that person. I don't like this person. I don't like the way that that goes down. I don't like this. And Jesus' response was, I didn't ask you to like. I told you to love one another. When you're willing to love somebody, you're willing to understand what everything else means. One of the first questions that we ask is, why? Why do I need to love somebody? John writes in 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7, he says, dear friends, let us love one another. Why? He says it again. Here's John speaking, and in my opinion here, and what I believe wholeheartedly, is he remembers Jesus' words sitting there. And he remembers Jesus saying, love one another. And he says, let me tell you why you need to love somebody. It's because Jesus told me before he paid for my sins on that cross, he told me to love you in the way that he loves. And this is why. He says, love is from God. That is why. Because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in us. Not that we loved God. Don't be mistaken. It wasn't for what you did. God didn't come here because you were such a great person and you did so much good and you love so much other people. That is not why. It says, it is not because you first loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. It wasn't because of you, but because of him that we can understand love. So anything that is from our understanding of ourselves isn't the way that we love. Because we love in this way. Man, that's awesome that me and you enjoy being together. Let's call it love because we have a ton of fun, and let's get married. And then whenever we get tired of each other, there's a way to do that. We'll just separate and leave. Or, hey, we will be absolute best friends and we're going to do all the coolest things, but whenever you try to build a life up, I'm stepping out because I don't want to be a part of that. That is the way that the world loves. Whenever I get something out of it, I'm willing to do it until either that goes away or it gets too difficult and I find something better. Right? Well, that's the way we do it, but that's not how God tells us to love. He doesn't say, hey, Kirill, I need you to like Ralton. No, he doesn't say it. He says, I need you to love Ralton. Even in his faults and his failures, love him. And then when you realize that you are just like the people that you don't like, in that you hurt God, you sin against God, you do wrong against God, but yet God loves you so much that he sent his Son for you. Even when you sinned against him moments ago, God still loved you through that. He didn't want you to continue in that, and he may ask you to stop doing that, but he loves you through that. And God says, in the same way, if I can do that for you, then when that person at work gets unbelievably annoying, when your spouse will not be just quiet for a moment, when you guys are struggling, when it's the hardest times, when every time you're just bumping heads, when you and your friend are just at wit's end with each other and you can't handle it anymore, do not step away. Love them more. Sacrifice them more. more for them more. Don't sacrifice them. That would be really terrible. Don't sacrifice them, okay? Sacrifice for them. Even though there's some of those that you would love to sacrifice. Jesus, I'm willing to give them to you. You tell me, I'm going to throw them right down on the altar and we're going to burn them up for you right now. Now, that's not what he's talking about here. That's not what he's talking about. Yeah, their place on that altar that gets burned up, you go up there, you grab them, you pick them up and say, no, I'm going to take that spot for you. That's what love is. When they're on that cross there and everybody else is throwing spears at them and hitting them and beating them and doing whatever, you say, no, 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 no. I love you so much that I can help bear this weight because God bared the full weight of my sins. I can help you because he calls me to do that for you. He loved me so much that I have to love him in the same way. So I have to love you. I have to sacrifice for you. And how do I do that? Through that word sacrifice. As a matter of fact, Paul writes in Romans 12, 1 and 2, says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies in a living sacrifice. Not live this world for everything that you want, but to have it holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Whatever it is in this life that you desire, our first question should be, does God desire this for me as well? And if the answer is no, whether you want it or not, get rid of it. Throw it out. Some of us want to go hide. I had the opposite of what we talked about. I used to want to go to the biggest possible church around. Why? Because there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. There was tons of events and everything. You could get lost. And you know what? If you didn't want to actually lead anything, you could sit back. If you wanted to skip a few weeks, you could go hide in the corner. Nobody's even going to miss you. Went to a crazy large church, and you would believe it or not, in 3 years that I went there, never met anybody that I didn't know beforehand. And I felt empty. I felt lost. Why? Because I picked everything that I wanted. I wanted the best theatrical worship that we could have. I needed somebody that would get up there and would just preach the word in a way that I just thought, wow, look in here and everything. And I did not get, and I'm not saying it was a bad church. I'm saying that's not where God wanted me. It's not where he needed me. Because I had become someone that needed to go to an event rather than someone that was going to go out and proclaim the gospel. It may come in a small town church where you go because you just feel comfortable. And it's so comforting because you know what? Everybody loves me so much and we don't have to go invite other people or talk to other people. It's just my family and a few friends. And it's easy. I don't really have to do anything. They understand. Billy Bob does the same thing I do on Mondays and Tuesdays. We can live our life however. Or we disappear. But that's not what God asks. He asks for us to be a living sacrifice, to sacrifice who we are so that we can fully take on who he is and try to be who he is. As a matter of fact, I get to say now, the late John MacArthur passed away here in the past few weeks. And I think the Babylon Bee talked about John MacArthur going up and talking to, Peter here recently. It says Peter's like, man, I never thought about that in the way that you're preaching it, you know. That is the type of guy that John MacArthur was. He was just so in-depth and great at being able to just deliver the word in a way that you could understand. But he said once, biblical love is not chemistry. It's not impulse. It's not emotion. It's self-sacrifice. And when you love like that, and I love like that, the church will be Christ-like and the world will know that we belong to God. How do people know that you belong? Through the way that you sacrifice for the church. When you don't worry about the emotional aspects and those sort of things, those aren't your driving force. Your driving force is loving Christ. And you say, well, Kirill, how do I know that I get to a Christ-like step? In our third point, we talked about how we or why we love and how we love. We love because Christ loved us first. And how do we do it? We do it through sacrifice. And then the question is, when do I know if I'm being Christ-like? When do I know? John speaks, or in the book of John, in chapter 21, starting at verse 15, what's happening here is he speaks of a time in which Jesus is coming back and he sees Peter there. Peter has done what he said here at the end. He's denied him three times. Peter feels lost. He doesn't know what to do. He hear God's or Jesus said, hey, you're going to deny me. There's no possible way. I'm going to love you. And he denied him. And he did wrong. How do we know whenever we're living a Christ-like life? Here we have Peter starting in verse 15. It says, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter. Simon's in one of the lowest parts of his life. He does not know what's going on. Here's Jesus. Anybody ever let somebody down and they're sitting in the room with you and there's that awkward moment where it's like, I need to apologize, but I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know how they're going to react here. I'm struggling. I know that I did wrong, but man, some of you guys like to run away, right? Some of you can say, man, when there's the awkward times, I'm just going to run away and go hide. And we do the same thing with Jesus. We run and hide. I don't want to deal with that situation. I don't want to deal with the awkwardness. I don't want to deal with all that. So I'm just not going to be around him anymore. And some of us run from church, not because we dislike Jesus, but because we don't want to go through the process, or maybe we're embarrassed or we're too hurt or whatever, and we disappear. And Peter could have easily done that. And it shows that he actually went back to fishing. Some of us go back to our old lives, back to what we said. And then here comes Jesus, and he's having breakfast with him. He's pulling him back off the boat, and he's coming here, and he's like, listen, face to face, if I need to talk to you here, and I need to tell you something, and I need to ask you a question. Some of us have relationships with people that we are struggling with, and we need to come back and say, hey, I love you, and I did wrong, or hey, I love you, and let's talk about this. Some of us were absolutely in the right and some of us were absolutely in the wrong, and we want to just burden somebody with that. But Jesus doesn't do that. He comes in a loving way and he brings him in and he has breakfast and says, let me talk to you, Peter. I told you you were going to be the rock in which I built my church. I told you that. You were going to be that. That has not changed. I also told you that in the greatness that you were also going to deny me three times, and you did. And that's not going to change. And you're still going to do it, but you're still going to be the one that I start my church with. But I need to tell you something here. And he says, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And in his pain of having to answer this question, feeling like it's a scolding moment, Jesus is actually bringing him in and saying, I know you did wrong, but do you love me more than they love me? Do you love me more than the things that you're doing? Do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord. He said to him, you know that I love you. But he said it in a way, it's like, yeah, I know. You know that I love you. And he said, then feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. Then shepherd my sheep. Go feed them and take care of them. And he asked him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And here's how we know whenever we are Christ-like. It said, Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time. Are you grieved when you sin against God? When we sin, do we hurt? Do we know that we did wrong? Not because it was wrong, because God loved us so much and we let him down. Do we grieve in that way? Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. Truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, and it's the same thing that Jesus is telling you today. Follow me. He's not saying it on just let's go do another earthly walkthrough and act like we were before. He's saying, do the things that I do, and when I call you, you just do them because you love me. Follow me. A.W. Pink said, it is not the absence of sin, but the grieving over it, which distinguishes the child of God from empty professors. Don't just go up and proclaim a gospel that you don't live out. Live out the gospel. And for some of us here today said, well, I just came to Vacation Bible School. Some of the kiddos here had an awesome opportunity that one of our youth kids gave his life to Christ this past week. It's exciting. Some of us has been going to church for our entire lives. Maybe it's just for a couple years, or maybe it's been for 50 or 60 years. Wherever it is, some of us have just been going out and we've been living and tying our belts and doing whatever we want to do in an easy manner, and we're proclaiming ourselves to be Christians. We've got an excellent, excellent religious life that we live, and yet we do not know Jesus. We talk about him in the same way that we read a novel and we discuss the characters in some fiction novel. And we say, man, don't you know about that guy that did this? And don't you know about that? Man, how awesome was that? Have you guys read this book? And Jesus is no more to us than Huckleberry Finn is. It's the same either way. Some of us have been living that sort of relationship or that lack of relationship for our entire lives. And today, this week, we've talked about what Jesus actually calls for your life. Realize that you are sinners. Realize that I came to you. You didn't come to me. Realize that you need me. Some of you are sitting here today, doesn't know what tomorrow brings, and sure don't know what eternity brings. Jesus is going to tell you the same thing that he told Peter. And the same thing I'm going to tell you today. If you do not intimately know Jesus, for one, you need to live it out, and in the way that we live it out, is that we go in the exact same thing that he tells Peter here. He's telling you, follow me. Follow Christ. Be Christ-like. Don't make this a life of just check marks off the list. Love deeply. Love because God loved you first. And love because God called us to love each other. Here in just a moment, I think we're going to have a last song as we get started. Something we don't do We have the last song a whole lot, but there are some things in our lives that each and every one of us say, hey, I need to do a little bit better. We need to do a little bit more. I got to get here. I got to get... Lay it all out. During this last time, be in prayer. You know, we always open up the altar in any way that you want to pray or that sort of thing. We're going to pray with you. Some of you guys have said, I've been living a life that just resembles a Christian walk, but I don't actually walk hand in hand with Christ. Today is the day. Follow Him. Follow Him and live out a life that is Christ-like. Let's pray. Lord God, as we get up to worship here in just a few minutes, allow us not to just sing a song, Lord. Lord, as a matter of fact, if all we're doing is singing a song, I ask that you make it to where we can't even speak. Lord, I ask if all we're doing is just saying words with our eyes closed that you don't even allow us to speak those words, Lord. But Lord, I ask that you take over in each and every one of our lives, and as we sing these songs, that you come into us and you show us that love and you allow us to actually praise and proclaim you. As we pray, that we praise and proclaim your name through our prayer in an intimate fashion, Lord, that we do this for you, that you shut our mouths if it's for us, but you open them if it's for you, Lord, and you show us how to do that. And if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you yet, Lord, that they are lost and they think that they have some sort of relationship, but Lord, they don't actually have a relationship. They just have been going through the motions. They've been Christians, but they haven't been Christ-like. Lord, I ask that you pour into their lives, that you, in the same way that we spoke this week, that you pierce their hearts, that you pierce them and that they grieve over not knowing you. Lord, if there are those of us that do know you, Lord, and we are doing wrong, that you give us the ability to grieve over that sin, to seek you no matter what, Lord, even if the world tells us it's wrong, Lord, I ask that today that we learn how to truly live out our lives in a way that our old selves are gone and we are filled with nothing but you. Give us the strength and give us your spirit. Today, in Jesus' name, I pray, amen.